you know, we read that piece earlier today, Sal, about John Lovitz beating up Andy Dick at the Laugh Factory.
We did.
I was so enamored of that. And we thought we'd try to track Lovitz down. I don't know. Christian, when do you think we'll have him?
I think we've got him right now.
Ah, Jumpin' Johnny Lovitz.
The magic of radio.
The one, the only, the contender to the heavyweight championship of the world. Tell me, John, what did Dick must have said something about Phil to get under you? You're the most lovable, easygoing guys I know. How did you get to the point where you're banging him into a bar?
Well, I didn't. Well, because... You want the whole story?
Yeah, that's, of course I do.
Well,
by the way, Phil, congratulations on doing
that. That was a Phil. It was like a, well, you too. It was like a brother. So what happened was killed. You know, they asked me to replace him on news radio.
You were talking about Phil. I think your arm might have dropped out for a second there. So you go on to news radio, and Dick's there already.
So right? I said, "You sure you want me to be there?" And they go, "Yeah, the whole cast wants you." So I get on the show, and Andy's complaining to everybody, and he's complaining in the press. Why am I there? And once he started complaining to the press, I said, "You know what?" And he's saying, "You know," he was just complaining and complaining, and giving me a really hard time for no reason. And I just said, "What's your problem?" You know, I give you jokes. What do you?
Yeah, you're easy.
And then he complained about me in the press, saying, "I don't even know why he's here." So I said to him, and Phil told me that, you know, they had a Christmas party, and Andy was doing cocaine, and he gave it to, which, you know, she'd been sober for 10 years, and so that's what started her back on.
Gave it to Phil's wife, Brynn.
Drugs,
oh,
right. So,
well, that's heartbreaking.
So then Andy kept saying, "Right here," and complaining and stuff. So I finally said, I said, "What do you think?" He goes, "Well, you shouldn't be here." I go, "Well, I wouldn't be here if you hadn't given Bryn coke in the first place."
Yes.
And, you know, I was very angry, and I was blaming him for what happened. Yes. But, you know, later on we made up, and I said, in the year, and later on I said, you know, "I'm sorry I said that," you know, I realized it wasn't really his fault, although, you know, he did do that. So mm-hmm. Then everything's fine for like years, and then about a year ago, I'm in a restaurant with a comedian, a friend of mine, Joe Coy, in Ago, which is a restaurant that I'm like a investor in, one of the owners, and I mean, 11 people own it, but anyway,
that's not a digression,
like
not
place,
at all, John.
You know?
Yeah, of course not.
And then I see him, and someone had just bought, the table next to us had bought Joe and I these, like, peach liqueurs, and they just set them on our table. And I don't drink, but they were, like, saying, "We want to buy you a drink," and they bought us this drink. And Andy walks in. I go, "Hi, Andy." And he doesn't say anything. He just comes in. He downs Joe Coy's liqueur. He just drinks it, takes mine, chugs it down. And I go, "You ass." And it's dripping down his chin. And then he looks at me smiling, and he goes, "I put the Phil Hartman hex on you. You're the next one to die."
Wow.
And I just said, I go, "What did you say?" And he said, "I put the Phil Hartman hex on you. You're the next one to die." And he's smiling. So my blood just went to my head, and the table was right behind him, like a foot. So I wanted to smash him, but if I hit him, he would have gone flying into the people, and, you know, and then there would have been a fight in a restaurant that I'm part of, the owner. You know?
Right, right. See it.
So I just looked at his friend. I said, "Get him away from me right now." And I just was. Apparently, his friend like grabbed him, was going, "Come on, come on, come on!" And he looked. I don't even remember saying. I didn't say it loud, but apparently, I must have looked, you know, like crazy. And then I had him. I said, "I don't want him here in this restaurant ever again." And
right.
And he was really drunk, but he was just in.
Well, he sounds demonic. I mean, that stuff's demonic to say stuff.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you could have said to me. I mean, it's a horrible thing to say. And I swore. I said, "The next time I see him, I'm gonna, you know, smash his face in." But, you know, like, you know, Jackie Mason, he always talks about Jews getting in fights, and I always go, "I was this close." You know what I mean?
So you made a commitment to go the next step.
Yeah. So then I do my, might as well plug my stuff. So I do my show at the Laugh Factory every Wednesday at 8 at the Hollywood.
Johnny, dropping the plugs.
So, well, we got to be fun. So I do my show, and there's all these people there. The owner, Jamie Masada, has all these party planners there to see me doing the show.
Yeah.
To get more people to come on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock to Laugh Factory every Wednesday. So So I do like actually the best show I've ever done in my life. And then I'm done, and the MC's up on stage. Next thing I know, I see Andy's up on stage. I'm like, what is he doing here? And I was like, oh my God, what's he going to do? Because like 2 months before this, you know, he was at the Improv in Hollywood, and he drops his pants and his underwear, and he exposed himself to the audience. I mean, he's always doing stuff like that. And I said, and I hadn't seen him since he said that. So now I was just, I mean, I was just furious. And I said, why is he up on stage, and what is he doing? You know, and, you know, that's the thing he says to me. Next thing I know, he's on stage, and it's Wednesday, it's my night. That two-hour slot is mine.
Boy, the guy is really going way out of his way to rankle you.
Yeah, so he's up, I don't know. Now they go, he has some script he wants to offer you a part in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would ever be in anything he does. So
right, it's like Trump offering Rosie the Apprentice, you know?
Yeah, so only worse, because I can't think of a joke.
Well, it sounds like it was a hot set. It took it all out of you. So anyway, he comes off stage.
Now I go, what am I going to do? And I remember thinking to myself, well, I said the next time I see him, I'm going to smash his, punch him, you know, as hard as I can. But now there's all these people there that are supposed to give me work. So he comes into the lobby and it's packed, you know. So, and then when I saw him, I wasn't mad. I don't know why, because I'd been getting along fine. So I just said, Andy. I go, hi, Andy. I go, listen. I go, do you realize what you said to me the last time I saw you? He goes, what? And he's smiling. I go, you said, you know, I put the Phil Hartman hex on you. You're the next one to die. He goes, I don't remember saying that. Like, just smiling big. I said, well, you're probably drunk, but that's what you said to me. You know, I put the Phil Hartman hex on you. You're the next one to die. And I just wanted him to say, oh, I said that, I'm sorry.
Yeah, if I did, I'm sorry, I don't remember,
yeah,
I was crazy.
Any normal human being would have said, oh, well, I don't remember, but if I, yeah, right. But he doesn't say that, he goes, oh, I don't remember saying that, and he's smiling. And then he leans into me and he goes, well, you know why I said it? Because you said, I killed Phil Hartman. That's the first thing you said to me when I got on the show. I said, no, I didn't say you killed him. He goes, yes, you did, that's the first thing you said to me. I go, no, I didn't, and that was 10 years ago, and then I just lost it, and I just grabbed him by his shirt, and I pushed him against the wall, and I said, listen, I don't want to be in your movie, I don't want you in my life, I don't want anything to do with you, do you understand? And I pushed him a little, like not hard, and he's just smiling at me. And then I realized, oh, here's my chance. So I pulled him back by his shirt, and then I just pushed him, like, almost as hard as I could, really hard, and you know, and I smashed his back and his head into the back of the bar, and it was, and I just lost it. And then I kept doing it.
This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen you do.
I stopped, and when I did it the second time, and it was really hard, and he went, oh. It looked like, oh, why did you know? And then I did it again, and then the doorman broke it up.
Oh, Johnny, I love this story. Good for you, my friend. You got to take that next step once. So I remember when we used to wrestle in scenes on SNL, I used to try to tackle you during scenes that we were in.
That was funny, though, because, yeah, it was a sketch where we're supposed to get, like, in a fight, and you get me in a headlock, but we're on air, and then you're really trying to pull me down.
I was actually trying to.
Which was not in rehearsal, and I could feel you doing it. And I just remember I was laughing.
That's the hardest we've ever laughed on air. I was literally on live TV trying to knock you off your haunches. Well, Johnny, I got to take a break, but I wanted to call and get the straight report. And I'm giving you a big thumbs up, my friend. We got the memory of our friend Phil, and good for you for stepping in there, violating the Jackie Mason theorem and going to the next step. I'm proud of you.
Thursday, we're at the San Manuel Casino.
I'll see you. John, nobody more seamlessly blends commerce and real-life drama than you, my friend. Beautiful play
all
here.
All I'm saying is I'm at the Laugh Factory every Wednesday.
Five plugs and a morality tale. I think it's like a Hugh Grant movie. This is the Dennis Miller Show.